Part C.
We've been in a study on divine forgiveness. Jesus said, just as the Lord forgave you, forgive others. And he used the word for forgiveness that deals with a personal relationship that comes from God through you to others, charizomai. And today we've been talking about the part that says, God forgave you. And there are two parts. Both words for forgiveness are important for that we have received, because we're not going to be called to judge others, but we are going to be called to forgive others. And that part is very important. So, we have talked about that, how it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, how it comes through God's grace, how it comes through the gospel. And that the sin that's forgiven, judicial guilt, is Adam's original sin. And one of the things that I want to recall to your mind about this is that in the pamphlet of 50 things you receive at salvation, if you don't have that pamphlet, you can pick one up on the way out. It has a picture of a cross on it, and it says, so great is salvation, taken from Hebrews. We took those 50 things and broke them into four sections so that you could grasp the awesomeness of what salvation means to you. And there's a section called the nine communion of factors of the blood of Christ, nine factors of communion with the Holy God. And they're part of the cup of the Eucharist. It's part of the new covenant cup. In 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 25, and we do this every first Sunday of every month that we're able, we do the Eucharist. And we do the bread and the cup. And there's a passage in both parts, the bread and the cup, that says, do this in remembrance of me. Eat the bread and do this in remembrance of me. Drink the cup and do this in remembrance of me. And we always tell you that there are four things about the bread and there are nine things about the cup that you should be mindful about. And we give you a card in the pew, and usually the ladies print it on your bulletin, and they tell you the nine things. Problem is, a lot of times people don't know what the nine things, they read them, but they don't know what they mean. One of those nine things is divine forgiveness. So this gives me an opportunity to go over those nine things with you. So I want you to take your Bibles, and let's look at the first one, redemption, in Ephesians 1:7. In Him, Christ, that's positional truth, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Boy, isn't that one little verse packed up? Wow. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Redemption through His blood. If you have redemption through His blood, you have forgiveness of trespasses, and the riches of His grace. The word redemption means to be released from the judicial guilt of an Adam's sin. Redemption means to be, it requires pardoning. It requires a price to be paid by somebody outside the slave market that has to purchase those inside it. Redemption. We got in the slave market of sin through Adam's sin. It's not because we sinned, it's because he sinned on our behalf. And Christ dies on our behalf to remove it. So we're caught in that substitutional business, the imputation of Adam's sin and the substitution of Christ. We get the imputation of Adam's sin and we get the imputation of God's righteousness as the result of it. But redemption means to be released or because of pardon, because of payment, because a ransom has been paid, a price has been paid, by someone out, born outside the slave market. All mankind is born in slave market. The only person born outside it was Jesus Christ by virgin birth. Luke 1, 34-35. And he becomes our sin for us out of his righteousness so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. So we are redeemed, Ephesians 1:7. In Colossians 1:20-21, it says, and through him, notice that's a capital H, and through him, Jesus Christ, to reconcile, I'm dealing with reconciliation, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Notice the word blood is used again. We have redemption through his blood. We have reconciliation. Now what reconciliation does, it resolves the enmity and alienation that has separated us from God through Adam's sin. The specifics of Adam's sin in reconciliation, the specifics of it is we are at enmity and alienated from God. We are separated from God because of enmity and alienation by law. That's legal jargon of Adam's sin. That's the part of the judicial guilt. And the blood of Christ reconciles us to peace with God. It reconciles it. It takes away, it reconciles, it eliminates judicially enmity and alienation. And so reconciliation is the idea of resolving the conflict that separated us from God of enmity and alienation. And we are reconciled to God through what? Through our good behavior. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why it's part of the cup. And he goes on, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, see, you have now been reconciled. See that? So that has resolved that issue. Reconciliation has resolved that once and forever. Then you have the word justification. Go to Romans with me. Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 8 and 9. God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, that's positional in Adam, we were sinners because of our position in Adam. We were sinners, not because we sinned, but because of our position in Adam. We were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Justified is the, see the word justice? It means to be acquitted. Justified means to be acquitted of all judicial guilt of Adam's sin. We are justified. And how are we justified? By our good works. By giving up sin. By his blood. Do you see that? We are justified. Having been justified by his blood, we are saved from his wrath. Then we have propitiation, same book, 3rd chapter. Verse 23, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which is the Son. We've all sinned through Adam and are short of the glory of God, which is the Son. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Notice how these words are connected. Whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. Propitiation means to appease the wrath of God or the penalty of Adam's sin. It deals with the penalty, not the judicial guilt, the judicial penalty. Propitiation means to appease the judicial penalty of Adam's sin, the wrath. Okay? Back to Colossians 1:20. Should put these in some order. That would have been better for passages, wouldn't it? I show you some of these passages because they deal with so many of the same issues, but here's 1:20. And through him to be reconciled all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him. Say, reconciled, having made peace with God. What is that? It means harmonious relationship. It means to have a harmonious relationship. That's the idea of peace. That you have a harmonious relationship. You're at peace with God. You'll always be at peace with God. Positionally. You may be at war with him and his soul. But positionally, you're at peace with God. You've been redeemed, reconciled, justified, propitiated, and you have peace with God. You have forgiveness, Ephesians 1:7. We read that as our first passage in Ephesians 1:7 to look at it one more time where we had redemption. Notice the other part, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, forgiveness. You see how they're all related, they're correlated, all dealing with the blood of Christ. And forgiveness means the dismissal of judicial guilt, the dismissal of judicial guilt. We know that there are two ideas connected to it. One is pardon from a judge, and the other is grace from a father. Two parts of forgiveness. In 1 John 1, 7 through 9 is the concept of cleansing. So let's go there, towards the back of your Bible. Back up from Revelation through Jude, through the Johns. It's quite a house. It's got three Johns. That's all right. Just look it up. I have to talk. Sometimes I just talk to myself. I probably shouldn't talk out loud, though, should I? Here we are in 1 John 1, 7 through 9. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, what do we have? We have fellowship with one another, one with God. And the blood of his Son cleanses us from some sin. Some sin? Thank you. Could you remember that? Okay. All right. See, and the blood of his Son cleanses us. It means, see, the idea of cleansing is that it's been defiled. Whatever it is has been defiled and needs to be cleansed. It needs to be cleansed, and it needs judicial cleansing. For salvation, you have to have judicial. That's in verse 7. All right? In verse 9, it's not judicial. It's parental. It's not the judge, it's the father talking. It's not the judge, it's the father. In verse 9, the same idea, if we confess our sins. See, you don't confess your sins to be saved, you believe in the gospel. When you believe, you get cleansed judicially. But you see, as a believer who has been pardoned, cleansed from judicial guilt, now that you're a child of the Father, he'll discipline you. He will discipline you in sin. He disciplines you. He's a parent now. He's not a judge. He's a parent. And that's taught to you in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 5 through 11. And so when you confess your sin as a believer, that's personal because it's a relationship. It's a family deal. Father and child. So he says, if you confess your sins, I will be faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you. And that's for a believer. And so For judicial cleansing, you have to believe in the gospel. For parental or personal cleansing, you've got to confess your sin. And listen, listen to me. Here's what's wonderful about this. Over here on the pardon for it, and over here on the judicial, and the personal, the whole idea behind this thing is fellowship. Over here, you enter positional fellowship with the Father. He is your Father from this day forever. He will always be your Father. There'll never be a day when He will not be your Father because of the judicial guilt removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been cleansed. You have fellowship with Him. Over here, it's about fellowship on a continuous basis, and it's personal. It's not positional, it's personal. And if you want personal fellowship with the Father, you've got to confess your sins when you commit them. And when should you confess them? When you commit them. Don't clean them up at the end of the day. Clean them up when they happen. You know, you're not the dog that's been put in the house where the Father's at work. So when you get home, you have to clean up for the whole day. Let's keep short count on this thing. So there's the cleansing. Then you have the new covenant. 1 Corinthians 11:25, he says, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." One of the things you get dispensationally, when you get judicial guilt removed through the blood of Jesus Christ, you become a member of a new covenant. You become the member of a new covenant. You're a member of a new covenant. You're under a new covenant. Your membership is in that covenant. And it's because you're divine. Happy Father's Day. You're divine. Victory in the angelic conflict. Watch this. I'm in John, 1 John, so let's go to Revelation. I'll show you one that's just interesting. 12th chapter. Verse 11. Prior to verse 10, it says, "Now the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night." Now watch this. Now we know the accuser is the devil. "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even to death." It's talking about the angelic conflict. The accuser of us, listen, accuser of us day and night. I mean, that dude just never sleeps, does he? Day and night. I mean, you're not even safe at night when you lock your doors and close your eyes to try to get a little R&R. I mean, he's plotting on you as soon as you get up. Or maybe while you're asleep. And so we have, what does it mean? We are overcomers. It means victory in the angelic conflict. It means Satan has been defeated. We talked about this with the full armor of God the other day. It's not fight to win. The win is already there. We have already got victory. Listen, we're already overcomers. Live as overcomers. Live. Get a pair of Nikes and put them on, and remember, the word Nike means victor. Nine things. One of those is divine forgiveness. Nine parts of the Eucharist. So the next time we take part in the Eucharist, which will be our military Eucharist on July the 4th or 3rd. Does anybody have an idea? 4th. Whenever the first Sunday is, we will take that cup and we'll remember when we go through these redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, sanctification. We'll go through all these. We'll remember these nine things that pertain to the blood of the cup. And that's why we mention them. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Well, our Father, we're thankful today that you've opened the scriptures to our hearts and opened our minds to the scriptures, that we might take a good look at the concept of forgiveness. We are to proclaim the judge side of it, the pardon side, and to live the grace side, to manifest and exhibit it in our life, having experienced the pardon. We're to produce the personal, the grace part of it. I'm so thankful, Father, for your forgiveness, for the extension of it to my life in cleansing, for fellowship in my personal life. I pray for my congregation that they'd come to understand the concept of pardon and personal, so that when we read a passage that says we are to, that just as the Lord forgave us, we are to forgive others, that we have a concept of taking it from the parental side of our life and understanding how God, as a nurturing Father, deals with us through the cross. I pray, Father, that you would encourage our hearts this week as we engage the world with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would walk as overcomers or victors and not victims. In Jesus' name, amen.